One of the perhaps common misconceptions that comes up this time of year is that we think that we must sell any product that we are unable to eat on Pesach, which is perhaps a safe approach to take since most of us are not that well-versed in the various different components that go into every single product and what actually is chametz. But just to cite one very, very simple example, any item which is kitnius, which B'nai Ashkenaz do not eat over Pesach, one is not required to sell because it's not chametz. There's no iser d'oraisa of Bal Yirah of owning it on Pesach. Yes, there's a minug that evolved in the times of the Rishonim, going back perhaps to the 1200s or so, not to eat kitnius, and even that minig was only adopted by the Ashkenazim, not by the Sfardim. But there is no reason whatsoever why it's usher to own kitnius on Pesach. So, again, given the fact that we don't often know what various ingredients go into different products that might be, in theory, chametz, perhaps we're somewhat afraid to rely on our own judgment. But if someone has something which is only kitnius, there is no need to sell the kitnius. You can't eat it, but there's no need to sell it. You might be well advised to put it away and lock it up so someone shouldn't get confused and by mistake take it out and eat it. But there's no reason why one has to sell that which is only kitnius on Pesach. The basis for this minhag in halacha is found in Siman Tav Nun Gimel. In Tav Nun Gimel there, the Shulchan Aruch tells us that rice or other forms of kitnius one cannot use to make matzah. They also, says the Shulchan Aruch, however, can never become chametz. And according to the Shulchan Aruch, one can make cooked foods out of rice and other forms of kitnius. The Rama there writes in Tav Nun Gimel that some forbid using kitnius on Pesach. And the Rama says the minhag ba'ashkenaz is lahachmir and ein lashanos. What is the basis for this minhag of B'nai Ashkenaz not to eat kitnius on Pesach? And the reason Mishnah Berurah quotes two different reasons found in Rishonim, either because often or at times these kitnius grains or legumes would get mixed together with chametz grains, and therefore to avoid confusion and potential, if you want to call it contamination, the minhag evolved to prohibit these kitnius grains as well. Or the other suggestion writes the Mishnah Berurah B'Shem the Rishonim, is that often these kitnius items, such as rice or other such items, can be ground into flour, can be baked into a pastry-like product, looks very similar to the real deal. And for that reason as well, due to concern that people might think, oh, you can make such products on Pesach, not realizing that they're made out of kitnius, not out of actual flour. For that reason as well, Mishnah Berurah writes the minhag evolved in B'nai Ashkenaz to prohibit eating kitnius products on Pesach. Nonetheless, the Rama writes that b'di'eved, he says, it's pashut, that these kitnius products do not prohibit b'di'eved. If there was some mixture into some foods of kitnius, there would be no iser to eat the food on Pesach. The Rama writes that if these kitnius fell into a tavshil, and the Mishnah Berurah writes there is rove heter, there is rove non-kitnius in the mixture, so b'di'eved, the kitnius that got mixed in, got dissolved, that you can't any longer take out, would not prohibit the product, even according to B'nai Ashkenaz. So writes the Rama, as explained by the Mishnah Berurah. And the Rama himself writes, you can use kitnius oils as fuel back in the day when you had to figure out how to light your home with some fuel-burning substance. You can use kitnius fuels or oils to light your home. There's no iser owning and using and getting hana from such kitnius products on Pesach. So writes the Rama. And the poskim are making when it comes to kitnius also with regard to cholim. So very often a common question that is raised is for infants and infant formula, which very often contains kitnius. Some specialty formulas might actually be chametz, but the basic formulas are often kitnius. And for young infants who are begedra chola, there is no issur using such kitnius formulas on Pesach for the babies, provided, of course, that the parents don't wash it out in their kitchen sink with their Pesach dikah dishes. L'chatchil, one tries to avoid that because obviously you want to avoid any mixing of kitnius with one's food. And the same is true for even adults who are begedra chola, who take medication, and the medication might contain any sort of kitnius in it. If one is a chola and needs to take medication that consists of kitnius ingredients, that is also permissible, because again, this is a chumrah, the Bnei Ashkenaz are machmer not to eat kitnius, but when it's a chola that needs the kitnius, then in the form of medication, we are makel in that case as well. So vitamins, interesting question. If they are chewable, they might be considered begeder ochel. And if you're just taking them as preventive daily regimen, then perhaps better to avoid it. If someone is taking a vitamin that is swallowable and is not chewable and it's a hard, inedible capsule or a tablet, in that case, it's likely not considered royal achil altogether. So therefore, it shouldn't matter if it's a kitnius ingredient in that type of capsule or not. But again, if you're just taking chewables that are presumably designed to be somewhat tasty, that's considered ochel. And if it's not necessary for one's for treating an illness, which very often vitamins are just preventive, and you can skip a couple days. Consulting your doctor, of course, first, don't consult me. But if your doctor says that there's no issur, no concerns, skipping those vitamins, and it's an edible vitamin that has kitnius, then would be advisable to avoid it because it might be considered like an ochel in that case. I'm sorry? The gel caps are questionable in terms of kashrus, and that also is a question discussed as an aside, whether it's considered royal achila. And if it's royal achila, then you're right. If it's considered edible and it's a non-kosher gel cap, that might be somewhat of a question, even not Pesach related. If one looks in the supermarkets, you'll find, and as an aside, as an important aside, every year, there is at least one person who by mistake purchases what he or she thought was a Kashla Pesach item from the Kashla Pesach shelf and then calls sometimes a little bit too late with a terrible question, Shiloh, oh no, it's actually chametz. So please spread the word as wide as you can. When you go shopping for Pesach products now, next week, during Pesach, check the product for a kosher LePesach Hashgacha. I don't care that it's in the VAD store. I don't care that it's in the VAD Pesach section because there are many wonderful consumers who take a product, decide they don't want it, and put it back on the wrong shelf, and the Mashgiach has no way to know that some customer has just placed chametz on his Pesach Dikah shelf. That happens each and every year. So please, please, please tell your wives, tell yourselves, tell your friends, tell your neighbors. When you walk into stores, check every product to make sure it's kosher LePesach. I don't care where you get it and when you get it. Make sure it's kosher LePesach. That being said, when you do check your products and you walk into the stores, you will purchase cottonseed oil under the hashgacha of, in this particular case, it's the Libras brand, under the hashgacha of Rav Weissmandel. And if you take out your magnifying glass and you read the hashgacha label, you will see that it's kashla Pesach, cottonseed oil, and then in very, very, very small letters in Hebrew, if you can really, really make it out with a microscope of sorts, you will be able to read potentially that it says, Le'ochle Shemen Kotna, meaning for those who are makil, that cottonseed oil is not subject to the ister of kitnius. I'm not sure why he writes in such microscopic letters, but I guess just to be yotze, obviously he's alluding to the fact that there's a discussion in Poskim whether cottonseed oil is considered kitnius. One looks in Piskei Tshuva, Siman Tov and Gimel, you'll see that cottonseed oil, many Poskim are makil on that it is not considered kitnius, even though cottonseed, is that kitnius, is not kitnius. Many Poskim Paskin that, although there are many, many items that are included in the kitnius category, cottonseed is not considered edible. The oils are edible, but the actual cottonseed itself is not edible. So many Poskim feel the cottonseed is not considered b'chal kitnius, and the cottonseed oil, therefore, the majority of Poskim assume that it is not considered kitnius, and you can eat it. So when you do look at the hashgacha on the Libras cottonseed oil, rest assured that it says kosher Pesach, and the little hieroglyphics that you can't read are just alluding to the fact that this is cottonseed oil that is discussed in Poskim, but we are making that it's not considered kitnius. In a famous tshuva, that Rav Moshe has in Or Chaim Chelek Gimel, Siman Samach Gimel, Rav Moshe was asked about peanuts. And peanuts, I'll say from the outset, the minhag is that we don't eat peanuts on Pesach. That being said, Rav Moshe writes, interestingly enough, that people ate peanuts on Pesach, and it's not considered kitnius. And Rav Moshe was asked, well, why are peanuts not considered kitnius? So Rav Moshe writes very, very interestingly, the Shuvah as follows. He says, it's not a given that any item that can be made into flour, such as peanut flour, is automatically therefore usher because of kitnius. No such thing, says Rav Moshe. The Harai says Rav Moshe, potatoes. You can walk into Pesach bakeries and find the most beautiful looking, albeit not as good tasting, Pesach pastries made from potato starch, potato flour. It looks exactly like the real thing. So if the minhag of kitnius evolved because people make flour out of corn, out of rice, and they make all sorts of puffed pastry products, looks like the real deal, and that's the way you aser corn and rice. So why not aser potatoes as well, says Rav Moshe? Clearly, potatoes were not asered mitzad the minhag. They ate potatoes, says Rav Moshe, not just in North America, but also in Europe and in early generations. No one asered it. So you can't just assume, if the svara of the minhag applies, automatically the item is forbidden mitzad kitnius. No such thing. Now, granted, it could be that people ate potatoes in Russia and Eastern Europe because what else are they going to eat? In the freezing winters, where are they going to get food from? Where are they going to eat? Potatoes was a staple. That could very well be. Starch filled you up. It was a basic. What's the Yiddish folk song? I turn to the Yiddishists in the shul. Zuntik bulbus, montik bulbus, dinstik und mitvach bulbus, donnerstik und freitik bulbus, Shabbos nach enchanta bulba kugala, zuntik weite bulbus. Did I say that right? There's a tune to it also, Niggin, but we'll leave the Niggin for now. The point being that they ate potatoes every single day in Eastern Europe. That was all they ate. And the best they could do was turn it into a potato kugel and chomp, but otherwise it was all potatoes. So that's what they ate. It wasn't kitnius. Says Rav Moshe as follows. He says, you see that dafka, that which is mefurish le'isser mitzad the minog, and that which is yodua mefursam is b'chal the minog. But to aser new items, even though they might fit the svara of the iser, that we don't do, says Rav Moshe. So Rav Moshe, therefore, writes that there's no automatic given to assume that the peanuts are aser. If you have a minhag to aser it, he says, fine, it's aser. But misafik, he says, you shouldn't aser it. So writes Rav Moshe. Based on this tshuva of Moshe, many hashgacha agencies feel that the newfound hot topic of recent years, the quinoa, also is not beged to iser kitnius. Even though you might argue that it is misada svara, it's grown with, perhaps processed with, and perhaps could get confused with chametz grains, but based on Moshe's tshuva that we don't just aser on our own that which we think misvar should be aser, only that which is aser within the minhag is aser. So many hashgachas give hashgacha kashrut Pesach to quinoa, but it should be pointed out that it must be under hashgacha because there are lemaisa concerns with the processing of the various plants. There should be a cross-contamination of different grains mixed together with the quinoa, so one must use it if one is doing so only with a reliable kashrut Pesach hashgacha. In Sefer Psichas Igros, recites this tshuva from Rav Moshe. He says, the Shem Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky, that Rav Shmuel was there when Rav Moshe was asked this shayla about peanuts. And he says, Rav Moshe laughed at the shayla. He was so sure that why should this bichlal be bichlal the Isser of Kinyas? But nonetheless, if someone had the minhag le'esor, he didn't want to be matur it. If it was already a minhag to us to aser it, Rav Moshe did not want to be makel on it. interesting horror he raises here as follows, which is, what about corn? Corn, we all assume, is awesome than kitnius. Corn wasn't around in Europe when the minhag of kitnius started back in the 1200s, 1300s. Corn is a new world grain. Didn't come to Europe till a couple hundred years later. And yet that became bechlal the minhag. So it's interesting to see how certain items somehow made it into the category of kitnius and others did not.